Great to have the boys in. Damo and Nath, nice to see you.
Hello, Jim.
Always good, Jim.
And now, 22-week ban for Jaden Stevenson. 10 of those are in effect, I guess. Damo, what do you think?
Yeah, arguably lenient, Jim, from what we've gathered today. And as the details emerge, I would have, upon reflection, probably been comfortable more so had they decided to totally take him out of all possibility of playing again this season. People can line up the amount and say that it's a heavy-handed sanction, but I just line the stupidity up with what he's done and how a 19-year-old, albeit, can be in the system now for 2 years, which means he's had two different summers of education about, and it's not that hard. Don't bet on football, and he clearly has.
But there's no excuse for it.
But because he self-reported would have helped him, I would have thought.
Yeah.
Still sure. a pretty harsh sentence, though, whether he self-reported or not. I think 10 weeks, they got it around right, I think, 10 games for that, because you don't want the players, because it opens up so much question and innuendo about other players being involved, and he's punting on maybe other players in these same game multis. So,
and 20K.
Very, very careful there. 20K. 20K doesn't hurt him. He's very well paid.
I think the embarrassment and
the 10 games is enough, and the fact that he's going to have to walk back into that footy club and Nathan Buckley's not going to have one of his star half-forward flankers who can change a game at the instant for the next 10 weeks and quite possibly finals, because you play 10 weeks out of this game. It is a sharp game to come back into without any football. Yes, he'll still be fit, but is he match fit come finals?
20K is a lot. They've got to pay it himself. He does. The club don't pay it.
So like he should.
Yeah. But he's only in his second year.
So it's his first contract. So it'd be, it was a high draft pick. So it again, just rough terms, Bill, possibly 120 out of the season. Maybe a little bit more than that if you throw in every single game being played.
16% of his pay?
Thereabouts.
They haven't rolled him over?
Not that I'm aware of, Jim. They might have extended him, but he'd still be on his first contract.
Right. Yeah. The bets on games he's playing in doesn't help either.
That's the biggest issue, yeah. And again, people can refer to the amount and say, well, he's only had, on average, on the three bets in question in rounds 4, 6, and 9, $12 per bet on average. But there were bets that could shape the game and shape the way the game's played. Given one was on himself to kick a certain amount of goals. One was on a Collingwood victory, which you'd like to be the case. And one was on a possession count of a teammate.
The inside knowledge he has. I mean, he could have bet on a disposal count versus another player because he knows that maybe a player is going to be tagged. That's where the integrity comes into it, and that's why they like to keep it like that. And the 10 weeks is probably a good whack.
I have, a Damo, of course, in another life, been in clubland. I've sat through these integrity things at with the playing group where there are 46 players sitting in, you know, these theatrettes, and in come the AFL integrity people, and it goes for so long, and they are so specific about it.
Yeah.
And at the end, Scott Thompson just sent me a text on another matter. So for Scotty Thompson, who's in his 12th or 13th year, he would have heard this 25 times, seriously. Yep. So at the end of it, the footy club people come in. It was Walshy, who, interestingly enough, was involved in this one too with Collingwood. But Walshy would stand up at the end and go, boys, it's pretty clear. Don't bet on football ever. Yep. Don't be tempted to bet on football ever. Yeah. Don't bet anything to do with football ever. So I just, and I hear Jaden's a ripping kid, but it is at the top level of stupidity in my view.
It's the peak level of stupidity, isn't it? When it's all said and done, you just don't do it. And that's why I'm not even factoring in his age and his maybe, his immaturity even. Just don't do it. It's not that hard. If he's smart enough to kick 40 goals in a debut season and win a Rising Star, well, he's smart enough to not.
So how do you handle as a coach, Damo? Nathan Buckley, obviously, great respect for the players at the moment. He gets along so well with them. Yes, he's made, it's an innocent mistake. I don't think there's any malice to what Jaden Stevenson did, but now Nathan Buckley doesn't have a player who is unlike any other player in that list. I mean, you've got Jordan Dugowie, who's a beast of a player. You've got Hoskin Elliott, who's a very good kick and mark player. But Jaden Stevenson, the pace he has, he can change games. How do you handle it as a coach? Do you go, well, he needs to learn his lesson. He's not going to play for the rest of the year. He's not even going to play finals. Or I'm going to try and get him back to finals because I do love the kid. He's a good player and he can help us win a premiership.
The latter? But your point before, do you bring him back after 10 weeks out? I would think you'd probably be more inclined to bring him back if they've got the double chance, because that way you can give a game into him, and even if they lose, you might benefit from that. But if they do fall out of the top four, which, it, you know, it's a possibility given we've still got 10 matches to play and they have to play an elimination final, I think it's then a line ball decision, no matter how well he's trained.
It's already a hard forward line to get into. I mean, Ben Reid, completely different player, obviously, but he's out of the side at the moment. Mason Cox comes back in.
Elliot's
a lot of
the,
good players.
Elliot's the like for like, isn't he,
so
if there is such a thing.
It's a tough one.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ben Stratton.
Now, he got 2 weeks, Damo, one for pinching and one for stomping. And you were all over this. You said he should have got that.
I thought that was the right outcome, Bill. I mean, you don't always line up what you say beforehand and it comes out that way. But I just felt it was right to sanction him in that way.
Now, the Hawks aren't happy with the sanctions. Is that right? Is that what you're hearing? They say both charges should have only resulted in a fine.
That was their defence on the night. They've accepted it
fair
since.
Enough too.
And I think they're entitled to argue as hard as they'd like. But ultimately, he knew he was going to be suspended. Whether it was one, whether it was three, ended up being two.
It was some talk of stripping him that they should, like, this is from the outside of the footy club, that they should strip him of the captaincy.
Kane Corns, he's
made a disgrace of the situation. He's embarrassed. Do people overreact? And was it Kane, was it?
That was Kane.
Kane went
that
was
other
Kane.
People said it too, outside Kane. Other, people. I mean, but they overreact. Like, why? Ben Stratton is a ripping fella. He is a great leader of that football club, has been for a long time. Stripping of the captaincy because he did something silly. Let's be honest. He did something that a schoolboy would do, and he needs a rap over the knuckles
which
for
he's got.
It. I don't think he needs 2 weeks for it. I think
no,
it's
I
ridiculous.
Thought two was a bit hard. Yeah. I reckon did you? Put the two together and 1 week missing, especially for the stomping.
The stomping's worse than the pinching, I think.
Do you? I just look at that. He's just trot on someone's foot. I mean, we see people get knocked out cold. Sean Higgins got knocked out and was unconscious for half an hour.
Yeah.
And the player that knocked him out played the next week.
That was Ryan Burton, wasn't it?
Treading on someone's foot for me is not worth a week. The other one probably is if you want to make an example of don't do it again. But, you know, I thought those two together, if he misses a week, that seemed about right to me. Two seems a little bit heavy.
They've had a crackdown this week, the AFL, and I think their criticism of them, and we've done it ourselves, I've done it, has been that they've let things go. Well, this week has been a straightening up on a few issues, hasn't it? With the,
well, let's even talk about the Gil McLaughlin presser. How did you see all that?
I didn't have an issue with it. I had an issue with him. I want to say an issue. I wouldn't have apologised because, you know, my views, I've made them pretty strongly last week. There's nothing to apologise for if what you're doing is trying to improve the environment in which people attend football. I understand why he did it, but then I think it, and then that lined up with Jeff Kennett's comments, Jim, and we can touch on that in a moment too.
Yep.
I now fear that people might feel emboldened, Brownie, to potentially go push back on security this week at venues. And I think that is a possibility out of what's happened this week.
Security will be better. They'd be more aware. They'll be at least taught how to be proper security guards, I reckon. I'd love to know the training and what they tell them to do, because I don't know if some know exactly what they should be doing, the security guards, when they put on the vest. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say after what happened on the Carlton game and the Hobart game as well.
Yeah.
What would you have done if you saw a security guard on the ground, Brownie, if you were scuffling with someone?
I don't think you'd have many time to react to it. You'd probably look at it and go, that's a bit weird, but I just think everybody needs to calm the hell down.
Yeah. Right.
Hey, Jeff Kennett, did he do a little 180, did he? He came out, he was very hard. Then he had a chat with Gil, and now he's being...
Well, he wasn't going to apologise. He'd spoken to AFL people, I believe, a commissioner at least, and possibly commissioners plural, but certainly one that I know of. And on the morning after he initially said what he said, Bill, he was not in any way backing down. And then 2 hours later, he did, Jim.
He did. Yeah.
And I'm glad he did too. Because Gil made a good point, and that is judge the people on their output in their role, not on their appearance or all the rest of it. So I think it was appropriate that he did. And
it was a racist comment.
Just a smart bloke.
It was a racist comment. You cannot get and hide behind what he said. It was a racist comment. And for him to think that it was okay to A, say, and then B, defend as a right to say, it just goes to show why some people think that some people running these clubs are not necessarily the right people.
Okay, so let me ask you this. We've got a couple of 100,000 people, I don't know the exact figure, obviously, going to the footy this weekend. Do they all now, with great clarity, know what they can and can't do?
No, and you're big on this, but I will just say something pretty simple on that, Jim. Just be respectful and work backwards from that. You think you need more clarity,
don't you? But the thing with me is I've never, it's why Brownie, I used to sit in the corporate box, because the amount of abuse that I used to get sitting in the outer meant you couldn't sit there anymore. So I think, you know, lots of people are appallingly behaved at the footy. Don't get me wrong. And I would like it to be improved, and I've said that all the way through. I just think there's now a lot of grey water in this. Yeah. I think a lot of punters now go to the footy and think, well, am I allowed to do
yell?
What am I not allowed to do? Am I allowed to boo? Am I not allowed to boo? Am I allowed to... That's where the confusion, I think, has crept into this issue.
And we probably... Everybody's asking for guidelines. There's no sort of guidelines you can say, okay, this is exactly what you can and can't do, because the list is going to be so long. But if you kept it as simple as don't swear at the football where other people can hear you, don't say anything that racially vilifies anybody religiously or from their sex or gender, and leave it at that. And I think that common sense and calmness should take over.
All right, we've got lots of other things to discuss in football. Bill's of the belief that the Hard Stadium in Perth has destroyed two football clubs over there.
And wait for the rugby league. Hey, rugby league this week.
Oh,
State of Origin 2.
No good over there, Bill.
New Zealand, Queensland do not want to play there, I'm telling you.
New Zealand.
Well, who are they playing? New South Wales or whatever.
Where you were born?
Mal Meninga. He'll do a cashie before he coaches them.
We've got skill level to discuss too, Nath, because you and myself and Bill, among others, sat through the game up in Townsville between the Saints and the Suns. And as a very skillful player yourself, I reckon you would have been appalled.
I am a bit at the moment, Jim. I've got a few theories on where the skill level... I've never seen the skill level as bad as what it is in AFL currently. I don't think the game's ever been in better shape from a spectacle point of view, fans through the gate, I mean, how we market the game. But pure skill level right now has gone back, I think. I mean, it's not as good as it was 5 years ago. It wasn't as good as what it was 10 years ago.
So explain that, because you've got full-time professional players. You've got facilities now at all the clubs that are so much better than anything you experienced as a player.
Ten assistant coaches.
That's it.
And I believe it's mostly the younger generation coming through. There's so many young players playing at the moment. I don't think their skill level is up to where it was 10 years ago. And I genuinely believe it's because they have system-based game plans right now, and they train a system base. So
Explain that.
Because everything's about defence at the moment, and they play in systems. So if this player goes here or my defender goes here, we try and move in waves. So I think they train defensively first rather than offence. Always easier to train defence and be a defensive player than is an offence player. So I just don't think they're getting enough kicks, because it takes so long to try and perfect the art of defence that I just genuinely don't believe they're kicking the ball enough at training or having to make the decisions. And it goes further than just skill level. I think it's decision-making as well. So they're not having to make the decisions that were made 10 years ago. And you look at the players right now who are the best kicks in the competition and the best decision makers, they're still the older players. Here's a list.
Yep.
Pendlebury, Sidebottom, Gary Ablett, Martin, Luke Bruce, Burgoyne, Tom Lynch, Eddie Betts, David Mundy, Robbie Gray, Sean Higgins. Now, I can't think of any young players from the 1 to 5 year category who are better kicks or better decision makers than those guys. But I don't think they came through that system-based program. They've been around for 10, possibly 12 years. The two younger players I think are equal to that are maybe Sicily and Bontempelli, who are elite kicks. But outside that, I think we've got a real issue with skill level.
We had Sean Higgins, Damo, and Bill, didn't we, at a dinner recently in South Yarra, and he said exactly that, but he did say that the pressure, Brownie, is the on-field pressure and the closing down of space is 100 times worse now than it was when he started playing.
Than what it was, but you look at those players that I just spoke about then, all have the ability to get out of trouble and still make a good decision, where I don't think the young players do.
But certainly it is quicker game. They run further. So they're fatigued. That's another thing
they'll
say.
Don't make excuses, Bill.
No, I'm not saying that, but that's what the players will say. They're fatigued because they run a lot further than what they did.
But these players still do it well.
Well, I'll tell you what I reckon's happened. There was a time where I reckon clubs targeted athletes and not footballers. I reckon it's slowly coming back towards...
Yeah, it is.
No doubt it's coming...
AFL footballers.
Coming back to the genuine footballers, which is good.
Caleb Daniel, I would argue, is an example of that.
Yep.
And a very good kick,
Jim, want to address an issue over in the West that involves a player by the name of your surname, who happens to be your nephew. We'll just go back to how it all unfolded at Eagles training yesterday, put on the club's social media platforms of Andrew Gaff having a shot at goal, and you'll be able to hear what's being said at him. All right. The exercise was trying to put him off his game when he's having a shot at goal in one of those training incidents. It's all above board until you hear the words Andrew Brayshaw being uttered a few times. Gaff himself, given he knocked out Andrew Brayshaw last year, missed the remainder of the season at that point, and it meant he missed a grand final win of his club. Has been embarrassed about what he did and has been embarrassed ever since. Apologise for the teammate Nathan Vardy saying that during training session yesterday.
It's disappointing, no doubt. It's poor taste, and it's disrespectful, to, obviously, to Andrew more than it is to me. And I'll have a chat to if we know who it is at training today. And we'd want to apologise as a club.
And they're very remorseful. Generally, Adam Simpson only an hour or so ago has also officially apologised on behalf of the Eagles to the Dockers and Brayshaw about what was being said in that training situation. Being the uncle of the man in question, your take?
Look, I don't think it's a big thing, Damo, but it's just making the person who did it, I think, look like a tool.
Yeah,
you know, that's how I see it.
Teammates.
Yeah, it's just like you just look at it and go, "Well, why would you do that?" You know,
is he? He made a mistake, which he's apologised for.
Yeah, and
genuinely,
100%. And I think Andrew have done the right thing by it. They've cleared it up, and I think they've both handled it actually very well in the weeks and months afterwards. And I think it's a dead issue. Certainly, Andrew Brayshaw would love for it never to be brought up again, because he doesn't want that to be what defines him as a young footballer who, I think, by the way, is playing bloody good footy.
Having a good little patch, isn't he? It's coinciding with the resurgence of the Dockers as well.
Yep. So, I think you get judged in our industry by your behaviour. And so whoever did that will be judged pretty harshly by his own peers, don't you think?
Yeah, I would have thought so.
You just look at that and go, mate, that's just poor. You don't have to do that, you know, get on with it and behave better next time.
It's not a hanging offence,
correct.
Everyone says sorry. And
no, it is, but it needs to be discussed the club put it out there, and Andrew himself, as in Andrew Gaff, has
dealt with it.
Very upset.
Speaking of good young players, Bailey Scott, undergoing surgery for a broken foot. He's going to miss a fair bit of
probably
footy.
The rest of the year, you'd think.
Yeah, you don't like seeing that, do you, for a young fella? A good young player.
Started
too.
Well.
Yep.
Started
looks
really
to have the goods, doesn't he? Have you seen enough of him to think that?
He's going to be okay.
No, maybe not as, well, in his first year anyway, maybe not as good as Terran Thomas.
No, he's been wonderful.
He's flying, isn't he?
But again, I don't think that snuck up on too many. He was hugely regarded by all in the draft.
Floats Terran Thomas, doesn't he? Just comes in from the side. He's got graceful movements.
He's got a great body. How old is he? 19.
Big, 19.
Big body. Big boy, and played senior footy over in Tassie. He's played a lot of senior footy.
The difference often is obvious, isn't it, when they get in there?
Yep. Hey, what about Melbourne, who overhauled its coaching positions with Brendan McCartney moved sideways, it says in the paper here. Also, Jade Rawlings has gone from coaching Casey. He's come to the forward line of Melbourne now. It's
a lot of changes.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Highly regarded Jade Rawlings. I hear very good things about him.
Jordan Lewis on Robbo and Jared 360 last night said he's the best coach he's had, and he's been playing down there with Casey, which was interesting, I thought.
He's been at it a long time, Jade Rawlings. He took over from Terry Wallace when Terry Wallace got the sack and came in, and he was nicknamed Jade the Blade back then because he came in and cut a lot of players. So Jade the Blade,
never heard that.
They need to do something.
And what I like about what they've done is they've used the bye period to start whatever they were going to do at the end of the year. So they've got a head start in that regard, haven't they? And then whether those positions stay, Bill, but at least they've been seen to be making change.
Halfway
and they had
through
to.
The year? Do you do it halfway through
the
year?
Well, what they've got wasn't working, was it? And now they're allowed to get some other different experiences into those people on their list in the coaching committee and the coaching group, which I think will set them up pretty well for other decisions that now need to be made and will be made at the end of the year.
What's Paul Roos up to, Damo? Right. Because he said he will look at something at Carlton.
Playing the game like he always does, isn't he?
Isn't he
I don't want to coach anymore. And then a week later, I might take a phone call.
What do you reckon? It's a good club to coach, though, if you get a hold of that Carlton list at the moment.
How many blokes were going to be all Australian?
13 I came up with, Bill. You wait for that. It's never ending.
It's as big a call as West Coast won't make finals this year.
13 of those players finish their careers. We'll see how many of all Australians.
Well,
a long-running bet, this one.
You said, we're not betting, Nathan, of course.
We'll give you Paddy Cripps.
Would Paul Roos come in with someone like Sam Mitchell, who could take over in a year or two? Something like that? Or
the way I believe Carlton was thinking at the time they made the move on Brendan Boltonbill was that Paul Roos was not going to be part of their thinking. Now, things change, and we always say that, and other influences come into play. But no, that they feel they don't need the type, but going back 2 weeks anyway, that Paul Roos brings, the educational style that he brought to Melbourne, and set them up, absolutely set them up. But the way I was told, Jim, when they got rid of Brendan Bolton was they weren't going to go down Paul Roos because they feel that the next coach needs to be someone who can take them up the ladder instantly, not the reset and rebuild that he did at Melbourne.
I am amazed at the amount of talk around the Eddie Betts Sydney Stack. It's still going.
Yeah.
I know. I see where Cam Smith, who we love, by the way, the legend from the Melbourne Storm, said he would have pulled up Sydney Stack for doing that on field if he was a Storm player.
And said, we don't do that here.
No. It
amazes. They come from a different cloth, though, the rugby league players.
Probably are. They probably are. But I just never saw any of that in that moment.
No.
I just honestly thought it was two blokes who'd had on-field banter knife for the whole game, with great respect, too. Yep. It wasn't anything nasty.
Oh, most people loved it.
Eventually, Ed, who had done not much, kicked one of the goals of the year and then just turned around and found him and said, I told you, brother, it was coming. I loved it.
And that's what just general viewers of football love, too. They love to see that two players who mutually respect each other are open enough to have that. We're so quick to just knock down players and say, you can't do this, you can't do that. Don't speak out of turn. When something like that happens, it should be celebrated.
Well, we saw Justin Rose on the 17th hole at Pebble Beach in the amazing chip from off the green that Gary Woodland played to basically win him the tournament. And Justin Rose had led or been around the leaders for pretty much the whole tournament and now had fallen away a touch. But he walked Omar about 15 metres across to just, you know, give it the old bang with the fist and say, mate, that's all time.
You can't beat
that. Sometimes you just got to do that, I reckon.
Yeah. What if 95 to 97% of the AFL people love the moment? I think there was only a small spattering of people who didn't like it.
And the context to it too, I don't think we spoke about this on Monday, Jim, in the rush hour, but the lead up to it, 5 minutes earlier than that, Stack had smothered an Eddie Betts kick and he gave it to Eddie, just in that competitive way, and Eddie, oh, okay, whatever. And so it was only 5 minutes earlier that they'd had a different exchange, which was in that competitive spirit, but then when the release of emotion came when Eddie kicked that goal, it was one of the great moments of 2019.
I totally agree.
Loved it. Has the summit happened yet over there with West Coast and Freo about the ground and how hard it is, Damien?
Not again.
Jim, I'm telling you, there's the car park. They shouldn't have done that for starters.
Well, there's no car park.
But there is a summit, and they've got State of Origin 2 coming up, which both teams have been in the camps. Because I'm a New South Wales boy, you know that.
What camp have you been in?
Up there, they flew me to Sydney.
Obviously out of Big Bay Marine.
I think Kevvy Walters said it is not an issue for us in one way, Bill.
Where have you got that? Don't make up stuff, Damien. With your son. You need a haircut too. That island's getting a bit bushy up there. Look at these feathers.
It's hanging on, Bill.
Oh, it's just hanging on, my friend. Did you watch the Matildas last night?
No, but I was following it on the live updates. Good and win. I think Sam Kerr can kick four goals. Wow.
Four goals.
Suck on that.
First Australian to kick four goals in a World Cup, I think. You're fine. That's right.
In an entire World Cup, probably. One game.
Leading goal kicker. Well, exactly right. Hey, what else is going on, Nath? When are we seeing you across this fine broadcasting weekend?
Going to Sydney
weekend?
Friday night. We're going to have a good night at Hawthorn, Sydney. So we always go out for a meal afterwards, and we'll see if Howie pays, because extraordinarily tight, Howie. Very, very tight, Bill.
Bowen Head's beautiful spot. You've got to have money.
No, you don't have to pay much down there. Tight, isn't he, Damo?
He actually played... he paid for us last
time. Damo, you're not working with me.
I'm just trying to... I'm defensive of Howie, because we do give it to him. What are you up to, Jim?
Just normal broadcasting week for me.
Which is what, Jim?
Well, we've got the rub for the Freo Melbourne game. And then off to Adelaide.
My antenna's gone up now for a full 12 months.
Port Geelong.
On the brokering and the posturing behind the scenes with who's going to take over from Bruce. And
I find this disrespectful, Dame. I'll send this to you. Great man is still in the position and working beautifully.
No, and it's his job for as long as he wants it, Jim.
Of course it is.
But it's going to be yours after it.
Jim's trying to position himself.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, Brownie.
Where have you been?
Where are you getting into
this? What I want to ask you is, happy about it, would he?
What are you doing Friday night? In Sydney, Essendon.
Yes.
Not Sydney. It is Sydney.
Then he's going to Adelaide.
Sydney versus Hawthorn.
Sydney.
And then you're going to Adelaide.
Where are you, Sydney, on Friday night?
I'm in Sydney.
Covering the game?
Yes.
With Bruce?
No, not with Bruce.
I see you've kicked Bruce out.
I don't know why Bruce isn't working. I actually have no idea.
See, normally Basil gets the Sydney job.
He's only got one problem.
Yeah.
Natural arrogance. John, what's his name?
Anderson.
Anderson wrote it in the paper.
Natural arrogance.
He thinks he's number two now. It's between Hamish and Jim.
That's worked for him for so long, and natural arrogance.
And Jim's got rid of that natural arrogance. And
yeah,
that's what he said.
And I haven't seen him get rid of it.
I love, no, exactly.
Have a listen to Fat. It's the line he's clung on to harder than anything else.
Natural arrogance. You've got to have natural arrogance
from
to wear a lilac hoodie.
A lilac.
Very. You'd relate to the natural arrogance, wouldn't you, Brownie? You'd relate to that, wouldn't you?
I just got a nasty text message from Mark Howard. He's not happy.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
What's going?
Bad luck, Howard. I can't. It's got too many expletives in it.
I'll tell you what, arrogance, nice bit of arrogance. Our man on the handball last week, Maverick.
Oh, Maverick, yeah.
So let's just get Friday up there with you guys. You've got the
Hawthorne, Sydney. We've got the Huddle.
Is there going to be a top five?
There's a top five every week. Darcy, the top five. It's back to me this week,
and
top five.
Can we tease anything out of that?
Well, the man we just spoke about, Howard.
Oh, give him a break.
No, we need to have a crack.
No.
He did pay for all our dinners last time.
Yeah, it's my turn to pay. It is.
No, it's mine.
Will Carlisle and Hanbury play for St Kilda this week?
I saw Dan Hanbury at chiropractic yesterday, and he seems to think that he might be right.
Right.
Nice.
So he plays. What about Carlisle? He needs a couple of games, probably.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's in too.
Gee.
Nice. I like it, Damo. Great. We look forward to seeing you up in Sydney.
Sydney.
With Howard.
I'll see you up in Sydney.
With Howard.
Nave. Yep. Bill, probably won't see you.
No, where will I be?
Bot.
You stay here.
Bot.
You go to the bot.
I've just got to guard the bot.